It's Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna this afternoon on 720 WGN. They will be back tomorrow, I believe. This is a big couple of days for Illinois because, as you know, the spring session ends on Wednesday at midnight. And, oh, will we have a budget? Your guess is as good as mine. But one man who may have a little better idea, Rick Pearson, who covers politics for the Chicago Tribune. You hear him here Sunday morning on the Sunday Spin. And he is in working hard today. Good to see you, Rick. Thanks
good
for coming
you,
in.
Brian. Always good to see you.
I was surprised, but then I thought, well, you are covering. This is your bread and butter, so you're probably.
Unfortunately, it's more like jam is what it is.
Oh, very nice. First, before we get started, we have to. You had a suggestion for Sam. Sam, you and Rick are together on Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You said something about the socks off down with the Red
What'd you
sock?
Call it?
It's a sock off.
Sock off.
No, sock hop.
Sock hop.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
That's all you had.
Just a mild suggestion. That's all.
Just a very small edit, but
once again showing my age, since that's always becomes part of the conversation with him.
And I still think you should call your show the Sunday Swim because people always come up to me and say, "I love you on the Sunday Swim," and I'm like, "It's the Sunday Spin."
Wow, maybe you start an aquatic show.
Well, maybe you tour. Maybe it sounds like I'm underwater when I'm talking on Sunday. It's awfully early on Sunday.
Right after Steve Dale, he gets off. It's a perfect transition.
Right. Well, yeah. It is very early.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll consider it.
I will too.
All right. Good
this
for you.
This is communication between generations. I like that. I like that we were able to reach across the aisle, so to speak, and reach a compromise. Unfortunately, we're doing that here.
Not in Springfield.
So, all right. The governor is hanging his whole thing on property taxes.
Right.
Why? And is that going to be enough to sway the Democrats who have to be thinking, well, if we're perceived as voting against lowering property taxes, when elections come around, our constituents are going to remember that, man, we're paying a lot in property taxes help us.
You just hit one of the central tenets of what Bruce Rauner is doing here. Yeah. Is obviously, no one likes to pay taxes, right. But property taxes are undoubtedly the most unpopular tax.
Yes.
It's not within your control. You know, your housing values, even if they go down, it's more than likely your tax is still going to go up.
Right.
So you have that issue. So you have Rauner seizing on an unpopular tax. Two, as I mentioned to you off the air, I said one of the things that Bruce Rauner, if you want to put it in his list of accomplishments, is the way he has vilified Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Who has virtually gone back. He used to be like the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain. Then he was very much out front going after the governor for a long time. Until the governor and the Republicans started pouring a lot of money into making
millions
him look like
and
the
millions
devil.
Of dollars. Yes, well, and let's
now
not
he's disappeared.
Well, let's not forget Mike Madigan is also a partner in his own property tax
yes.
assessment firm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hitting property taxes, unpopular tax, a way to
Madigan's
hit Mike Madigan. More recently, you have the controversy involving Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker mm-hmm. buying a mansion next door to his on the Gold Coast
yeah.
and then making it uninhabitable and getting a tax break. So
mm-hmm.
property taxes unpopular, Mike Madigan unpopular. Here's a way to throw stones at a potential Democratic rival. And let's not forget, in Cook County, who the tax assessor is that controls the assessment process.
Yes.
Joe Berrios, mm-hmm. who also is the Cook County Democratic chairman. So you've got kind of this multi-pronged strategy that allows Bruce Rauner to go after a variety of targets, but without having to go into some of the more difficult and substantive points about property taxes.
Now, let me, because most of us realize that property taxes are a local thing, and that's where the local municipalities get most of their school funding and things like that. So if the governor wants this four-year freeze, one, is the state able to do that? And, you know, how are these municipalities going to react? And with schools already getting trounced on funding based on the lack of a budget, how bad is this, could this be for schools?
Well, and that's the number one point. I mean, basically, if you look at all of the schools, districts in the state of Illinois, 67% of their revenue is derived from local property taxes.
Right.
Just a quarter of it comes from the state. Illinois, by far, is down at the bottom of state support for education. Then you talk about
yeah.
putting a cap on property taxes, freezing property taxes, or make it easy in a referendum to even lower them. you're look at what you're doing to these schools.
Right.
Now, part of the problem is we could easily, reduce property taxes for schools, the bulk of their property tax bill. We could do that, but it would require an increase in state taxes.
Well, and that's where the Democrats are saying, hey, or the House is saying, well, we've got our own plan. We're not going to look at the Senate's plan, and we want a tax hike. We're going to put this tax hike in, painful or not. But some people are saying, hey, didn't we put a tax hike in 2011, and none of those taxes went to offset any of the bills that put
Illinois
in? Well,
actually,
they did. Oh, they did?
Actually, okay. They did, and that's what a lot of people forget. When Bruce Rauner took office, the bill backlog, it was a 30-day payment cycle. It was like $4 billion.
Okay.
That's not anything to be envious of. It's going to be $16 billion by June 30th.
All right.
$16 billion. So, yes, that money did go to reduce the backlog of bills.
Okay.
It also went to finally pay what we owed on an actuarial basis for our pension system instead of kicking that payment down the road.
Yeah.
So we were trying to get current on what we owe. But, of course, you can't see much to show for that for the average person. You're not seeing any effect of where do my tax dollars go. There's not, there was no big road program or anything like that to actually be able to accomplish. Like, I got you this intersection, this railroad crossing, this bridge, whatever. There's nothing like that. In fact, I would argue that's part of the problem why we don't have a budget today, because that's kind of that might grease the skids a little bit to get some votes for this kind of thing.
So we've got the governor on one side, as we have for the last number of years, with his I'm not going to say okay to any tax hike unless there's this property tax freeze
or any other preconditions. There's several others too.
What other ones?
Changes in workers' compensation.
I thought he was kind of backing away from some of those
this has kind of been an ebb and flow situation where there's a prioritization of one of now, I guess, basically four or five items that he has as preconditions. But you find him focusing on one of them, but then as time shifts, then another one comes to the forefront. And so you can't say they've really gone away.
He's just pushing.
Yeah, they're just in a rotation order kind of thing.
Okay, so he's got his side. Then, the Democrats are saying, well, we just want to do this, but we don't want the property tax freeze. So where is there any hope of some sort of compromise? Because they were in session yesterday.
They're in session right now as we speak.
Not much detail coming out, right, about what they've been talking about.
These are basically behind closed doors negotiations, and they're negotiations really between House Democrats and Senate Democrats, the Democrats controlling both of those chambers. I think what you're seeing is, and we saw this even a year ago, there are differences between the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats. And so the fact that Senate Democrats on Friday passed this $5.4 billion package of tax increases to help fund a $37.3 billion state budget, that's not going anywhere.
Right.
And so what you've had is the House Democrats basically kind of picking that plan apart, finding some problems and issues with it. One, when the Senate Democrats voted to increase the state income tax on the personal rate from 3.75% to 4.95%, almost at that 5% we were at.
Right.
That was supposed to be retroactive to January 1st, which means your effective tax rate was going to be even greater than 5%.
Right.
While it tried to, House Democrats said no, that's not going to happen. So you have issues like that. There's a proposed change in state pensions. We've been down this road before. Mm-hmm. Court striking unconstitutional. But there's cost savings that was built into this off changes in the state pension. No one can be sure that that's going to happen. Nobody can be sure that the courts aren't going to toss that out the window. So that leaves a hole in the budget. You have all of these kinds of things. There are budget cuts in the Senate Democratic package.
Where did they cut?
Well, it's 5% across the board.
Okay.
10% for higher education. And we've seen how ravaged higher education has been.
Yeah, that's not working out. There's, Chicago State with the grants, the MAP grants are going
to MAP grants, well, then that's statewide.
Yeah.
Northeastern Illinois University with the layoffs of student workers. Mm-hmm. And this out-migration of students, seniors in high school going out of state.
Yeah.
And they're not going to come back.
No. No, and again, we see, and it's not just, I'm sure, not just a Chicago thing. Chicago losing its population, Illinois hurting as well. And the longer this goes on, it just, there doesn't seem to be any fix with, and we, I've said this before with you, and I know you've said it, with the people who are in place right now, it doesn't seem like anything's going to get done because Rauner and Madigan are so entrenched against each other that I don't know what it's going to take. A group of legislators to finally go, okay, I'm not listening to either one of those guys. We're going to, we have to move in the best interest of the people of this state.
Well, what you really have, besides this political, ideological battle between Rauner and Madigan, what you basically have, you have two politicians who control purse strings and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And so Republicans are not necessarily going to object to anything that Bruce Rauner does because Bruce Rauner, as he did with one unsuccessful primary candidate last time, spend money and run against you.
Right.
So that enforces discipline and loyalty. And when it comes to enforcing discipline and loyalty,
nobody
does it better than Mike Madigan.
Nobody's better than Madigan. What now that he has kind of gone back to the background where he used to, where he's done well for so long, what do you anticipate is happening now as he's talking to these House Democrats?
Well, I think what we have a couple of issues. I don't want to say likely scenarios because
right.
in this bunch
you
don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but the main issue out there is what about education? What about K through 12 education? Now, of course, obviously a big issue for Chicago, but this is actually a big issue statewide. And so, you know, schools in the past have been appropriated more money, except they're owed over $1 billion because of the bill backlog.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you appropriate if you still...
You can't give it to them.
Yeah, right. So, but schools, even with that 25% share of funding, are heavily dependent on school, mm-hmm. on state funding, state support.
Right, that 25% is important.
So you have to wonder what's going to happen as far as the legislature. Will they agree at least on an education funding bill? Remember, one time Rauner vetoed the entire state budget that was sent to him except for the education line because, you know, people, parents, whatever.
But then there's go to school.
But there's some too, some Democrats and Republicans say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't do it because if people aren't feeling the impact of this impasse,
right,
they're not pushing for and demanding that it get resolved. Yeah. And what would do that more than the fact that, you know, hundreds of local schools would not open.
Well, even the alarms a couple weeks ago with CPS that we might not have money to finish the year, and everybody got all worried. And then somehow it was there. They finished the year, or they're finishing the year. It's not.
Well, we hear that.
That's what I'm saying. So
I mean, it's
I think
frankly,
right.
There's a built-in kind of atmosphere of, are they crying wolf again?
Yes. So I think, you know, unfortunately, maybe it's going to take something very drastic because if we keep allowing the politicians to just do what they're doing, and they have been for years, and we're not standing up loud enough because, as you said, we're not feeling it.
Right.
You know, we know theoretically, okay, yeah, the state's
I've read
in
that
this
somewhere,
much debt,
yes.
And the schools might not get funded, and unless you're personally affected, and I know there are a lot of people who have children in special programs and health programs and things, they've already started to feel it, but widespread, people are not. So.
Yeah, and so there is a school of thought. I'm not going to say it's a predominant one, but yeah, what happens if the schools don't open? And is that kind of the ultimate wake-up call, short of any kind of cataclysmic event that might occur?
All right, so we've got Wednesday at midnight is the deadline.
Yes, but I should add, okay,
yes.
So that deadline basically means that after that date, it takes a larger vote count to pass something. So right now, 60 votes are a majority in the House, 30 in the Senate. That moves up to 3/5.
Okay.
So 71 votes in the House, 36 in the Senate. It's important because there are 67 Democrats in the House,
right.
Not 71. There used
yes.
to be.
Ah.
So now that veto-proof, that 3/5 majority is over. So there's a school of thought, if the House Democrats are going to do a tax increase, now you wait past the go into overtime.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have Republican votes. And that's one of the things that the House Democrats have said all along. Unlike the Senate Democrats, we're not really ready to take a vote on our own and wear that political jacket.
Well, sure, because it's one that people are going to remember.
So it's going to be shared pain if we do it, and the you can ensure that by going into overtime.
Right.
So
if you were a betting man, oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, we're going to go into overtime. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The other real deadline, though, besides Wednesday, is it's the end of the fiscal, the end of the state budget year on June 30th.
Okay.
And that's where all of the indicators are just going to be, if you think red lights are flashing on the dashboard of state government right now, I mean, that's literally where the smoke starts pouring out of the hood. I mean, our credit rating has been downgraded so many times that if
can it go any lower?
Yeah. I mean, we are just a smidge above junk. Okay.
So we have that smidge to play with.
But many universities are, state universities are in junk.
Yes, because
status.
They're not getting their funding.
And then you look at CPS, and the answer to that crisis was, well, let's borrow $900 million.
Yeah.
And they're rated on junk bonds. So you're the interest. I mean, it's just one thing to keep in mind.
Yes.
So we get to June 30th without a resolution. The backlog of bills owed to vendors, to school districts, to providers of state services, $16 billion. That's half of a year's current state revenue. So that's 6 months of revenue right there without any kind of tax increase. Basically right now we're a $32 billion state.
If people hear those numbers, now they're concerned. Does it do? You've been down in Springfield long enough. Does it do any good when people say, "Call your representative, write a letter"? Does that do any good? Are they listening? It doesn't seem like
Absolutely.
Because
the individual contact is what's important.
Okay.
I mean, you know, obviously in this day of protests and rallies and that kind of thing, and individual contact. Because that's what matters. I mean, that's, you know.
So it's still important.
Part of constituent service.
Well, let's hope they start paying attention. We will. I know you've got to get back to work. Thank you so much for coming down today. Hopefully, we have some good news in the next few weeks.
I would like to. I always feel like, Debbie Downer whenever I come in here.
But one day you'll be able to come in here and say, hey, look, we got a budget, and everything is going to be peachy keen.
Hope I live that long.
Me too. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks,
and
Brian.
People will be listening on Sunday mornings to the Sunday Swim. It's the Sunday Swim.
Sunday Spin.
Oh, see, Sam told me it was a Sunday Swim.
And we're going to have Chris Kennedy on
this
Sunday.
Oh, that'll be very good.
Democratic candidate for governor.
We'll be listening with the coffee on.